Somebody praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He's awesome. Never stop praising God. He is so good. And I was praying this week and seeking the Lord upon particular things, and I believe the Lord gave me a message. The title of the message is this: Praying Through Your Idols. Now, if you're going to lengthen the title out a little bit, I'd put, don't pray through your idols. But I want to talk a little bit about that, praying through your idols. One of the things that man has always had problems with is setting up idols. Actually, when God called Abraham out of the land of Ur and he was called him into the promised land, one of the reasons why he wanted to call him out of there is because the whole nation was worshiping idols. They were moon worshipers. They were all kind, worshiped everything. And God called Abraham out of there because he wanted to set him apart. He wanted to make an example of him, of how he was to worship God and forget about all these other idols. But man has, from the beginning of time, man has always tried to set up idols and worship idols. And when we come into Christendom, we come in realizing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we want to serve him and so forth. But often we can get off track in setting up idols in our own hearts. There are some things that you and I can do that will set up idols in our own hearts that can get us off in the ditch. Now, the Bible talks about the end days and about how things are going to, the spirit of the world is going to influence very much the church. And the spirit of the world out there moves in such a fashion where it tries to, first of all, influence the people of the world to accept the God of this world's ideas, and then get the people of the world to influence the body of Christ so that the body of Christ again will be influenced by the God of this world that the Bible calls Satan. And so we want to make sure that we are standing against the pressure of the world to influence the church, because it's there. The world is trying to influence the church all the time. And unless we are consciously resisting, then we are going to be influenced. And one of the ways that we get influenced by the world is that we are tempted to set up idols so that we will begin to not so much even worship idols, but even pray through an idol to God. And when we do that, we begin to mess things up, because we're not praying out of a pure heart. Sometimes, you know, a pure heart we can be deceived when we think we have a pure heart all the time, when in actual fact, we have twisted things just a little bit so that our heart is not as pure as we think. In other words, we're not asking for things with the right motives all the time. Our motives can be shifted a little bit. And I'll tell you one thing, some of the things I'm going to share with you this morning, I've been guilty of, so I'm preaching to me too. I thank God. God is helping me, and over the years has helped me to move in different directions, but I know I've been guilty of this. I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, hallelujah, and can free us. Now, let's first of all read a definition of an idol. So say this with me first. Dear God, help me, I pray, to hear what the Spirit is saying to me today. Help me to get revelation concerning the things of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So an idol, a definition of an idol, is an image or anything used as an object of worship in place of the true God. It is an image made to represent the idea of a God or supernatural being. Those are a couple of definitions of idols, and we're not going to, we could go in to talk all about the actual physical creation that man makes and then worships, but we're not going to go there. We're going to go a little bit further. We're going to take this definition and go a little deeper into it this morning. It is the phantoms of your mind, the image of a heathen god created by the hand of man. An idol can be a phantom of your mind, or it can be something that we have created in our mind. An idol can be built by lustful thoughts. And what I mean by lustful thoughts, not only in the sexual area, but in any area of things that we desire. We can build something up in our mind that becomes an idol, even if it's a good thing. Even if it's a good thing. When we look at Stephen preaching just before he was murdered in Acts chapter 7, he said something about idols. He said, and talking about the children of Israel, in Acts chapter 7, verse 41, "And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." That's one of the most terrible things about idols, is that men begin to build them up by their own hand. And whether it's something physical or something in your mind, we create it. We form it. In other words, it's outside of something that God is doing, man is doing. And the works of man are works of the flesh, and they don't please God. And you and I have to be involved in things and attitudes and characteristics that are after God's heart and not after man's. So Stephen said that they rejoiced in the work of their hands. In other words, they were excited about this thing that they created. I'm just going to read a few verses of Scripture just to set the tone for where we're going. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19, the Apostle Paul tells the church of Corinth, "What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons." So the Apostle Paul is actually saying here in this particular statement that when you worship idols, you're actually worshiping demons. You are actually contributing to the influence of demonic forces. And so when we worship an idol, whether it is something that is physically made or whether we worship something that is in our mind, we are actually participating in demon worship. Getting quiet in here. Whether we are conscious of it or not, we still do it. Paul went on to say, he said, "You can't drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." In other words, we're going to have to be careful that in our prayer life, we are making sure that we are not praying through an idol that we've set up in our own heart. In other words, we're going to have to be careful that we got God's heart upon the situation that we're praying about. Or else we're going to be influencing and praying according to demon activity. Romans 2:22 says, "You who say, 'Do not commit adultery,' do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who abhor idols, you who say that an idol is a detestable thing to me, I would never bow down to an idol. Yeah, but do you rob temples?" Well, a temple is something that houses an idol. So do you rob temples? You'll be able to see this a little bit more as we go on. To plunder a temple or to rob a temple is to take everything out of that temple that is useful to you or that you consider valuable. You take everything out of it. Well, that's one of the things that the heathen kings, whenever they would take over Israel in the Old Testament, they would go in, and one of the first things they'd do is they'd go into the temple of God and they'd strip the thing. They'd take everything out of that temple that was valuable and they'd take it off to their own country. And I have to be careful that we are not involved in anything to do with an idol. We can't get any enjoyment out of an idol. Theologian Robert Strong puts that verse this way, Romans 2:22. Where is the meaning? You who abhor idols and their contamination, yet you do not hesitate to plunder their shrines. And again, to plunder your shrines is to take anything out of there that is valuable to you. Now, in the book of Acts, the Apostle James gives some instruction to the church. The apostles had gone out earlier and they had started to convert the Gentiles, in other words, the non-Jews of the day. They started to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. And there was a lot of argument at the time. Some of the leaders of the Jewish people were saying all the Gentiles, when they come to be Christians, they need to keep all the laws of the Jewish people. And there was argument. Some said they had to, some said they didn't. And so they had this conference in Jerusalem. And then the Apostle James stood up. It seemed like he was the leader of the day. One of the things that he said was, he's given his direction now to what should take place with the Gentile Christians. And he said, "But we will write to them, number one, to abstain from things polluted by idols." As one of the criteria that the Apostle James gave to the Christians that were outside the Jewish family, one of the directions that he gave to them, he said that they must abstain from things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. So the first thing that the Apostle James mentioned is that they must abstain from things polluted by idols. Now, if we were to study through this, we would find out that there's a lot of, they were talking a lot about offering things like meat and so forth to idols. But I'm looking at the spiritual context here. I want us to realize that you and I can set up an idol in our heart without anything physical. We can set things up in our hearts that we look at and that we are trying to get our enjoyment from. You know, that is one of the things that a criteria of what would something would be called an idol is that I receive from something from it. I receive fulfillment. I receive enjoyment. I just like to meditate on it. And I get my emotions stroked when we set up things in our hearts that is not necessarily God. James said to abstain from things polluted by idols. And we'll get into that in a couple of minutes. Also, a little bit later now, when they began to go into the Gentiles, when the apostles began to go into the Gentile churches, they began relating what James said. In verse 29, it says that you were exhorted to abstain from things offered to idols. How would you do that? How would you offer something to an idol in our day? Well, it is doing something to an idol that we may have set up in our heart that causes us to be able to receive enjoyment from it. Now, sometimes you and I, there are Christians who set up idols in their heart just because they like the feel that we get from, it could be oppression or depression. As hard as that is to understand, some people feel safer when they're a little bit depressed. Some people feel a little bit safer when they're a little bit oppressed. Why? Because they have come to a place where they are used to that feeling. They begin to fellowship with that feeling. They enjoy that. And so they just kind of pat that thing instead of getting mad and realize that Jesus said that we could walk in the joy of the Lord and that we could be set free by walking in the joy of the Lord. Some people make that a special to them, that they feel okay because they're not upbeat. They're down in the doldrums of life. That this is just my lot. I'm just happy going through life, just kind of getting by. Well, that's not what God says to do. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants us to fight for that. Now, let me again read the definition of an idol. A phantom of the mind, the image of a heathen god created by the hand of man, whatever represents the form of an object, either real or imaginary. Phantoms of the mind, thoughts of the mind, things, our imagination that begins to create something. People have struggled with this all through the scriptures as we read them. One of the people that I read about that had a very difficult time was Sarah. When, you know, Abraham was called out of the land of Ur, Sarah came with her and she had no child. And I believe she set up this idol in her mind that she wanted the child. She wanted the child so bad that she tried to make it happen. They waited for a while. She desired so much to have the influence even that a person of the day would have if they had a child. Because in that day, if you didn't have a child, it was a terrible disgrace. She wanted the honor to be able to have a child as well. And so she set up this idol in her mind of desiring a child to the point that she was so sure that she wanted this child that she took her servant, because she couldn't have any children, she took her servant maid and offered her to her husband so that she said, I could have a child through her. You see, when we begin to create things in our own mind, when we begin to set up idols in our own mind of the way things are done, we begin to try to get involved ourselves to make it happen. We begin to manipulate God, manipulate circumstances in order to try and make it happen. Now, later on, of course, as we read in Genesis and read the story of Abraham, we find out that, you know, Sarah was 90 years old. Now, think about it. How many of you ladies, if you're 90 years old, you wouldn't be thinking about having a child, would you? So can I suggest to you that by the time she was 9 years old, she had given up her idol? Can I suggest to you that she gave up the thought of having a child then? She was 90 years old. So when she let go of her idol, God moved. When she let go of that idol of building up that in her mind of wanting a child so bad, when she finally let go of it, God came in and said, "You're going to have a child." And did it in such a way that it's going to be a supernatural child. It's going to be a child that could only come by my hand and not man's. And that's what God wants in our lives. He wants things to come to us by His hand. And He wants to make sure that no idol's getting the credit for it. God wants us to let go of any idol that we might have set up in our heart so that He can move. Here's another example. Hannah. Hannah, in the scriptures, 1 Samuel, we read about Hannah. And she wanted a child. She had no child. And I'm sure she built up an idol as well in her own heart about having a child. She went and cried before the temple, before the high priest, and she cried out to God for this. Now, the interesting thing about it is the priest came out and blessed her and said, "You can have what you're crying out for." But I want you to look at this. When Hannah cried out to God, she said something. And she said something probably that a person would normally say. Sometime when we get an idol set up so hard in our own heart and mind, we'll begin to say things that if we look back at, we think maybe we shouldn't have said that. And one of the things that she said, "But if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him to the Lord." And what she meant at that time, and she knew it, and God knew it, that she would have to give him up. As soon as he was weaned, she gave that child up to the Lord, and she didn't get to enjoy growing up with him. She didn't get to enjoy the presence of her son with him all those many lives. She paid for it with a great price. She released him to the Lord. She had made the vow, so she had to keep her vow. She released him to the Lord. But she ended up saying something that I'm sure if she could have grabbed that back when she was nursing that little child and knew that as soon as he was done nursing, he was going to have to go and out of her presence. You know, we know how difficult that would be. It cost her greatly. When we build up idols in our lives, things can begin to cost us in ways that God never meant them to cost us. Really. An idol is something that we can, it is imagination of the mind, a phantom of the mind. Let's look at another example. Let's say I'm a single person and I need a spouse. And I began to set up this idol in my mind. I began to think about my spouse. I began to think about what kind of spouse I had. And all of a sudden, you know, I've been praying about this now. And all of a sudden, I see some beautiful, beautiful woman from Beautiful Babe. And I start to fantasize about her. And I start to think about, you know, what it'd be like to have her. Let's not allow our idols to pollute our prayers. Now, I'll give you a demonstration on how we deal with this. Roy, you come on up here for a minute, will you, please?